Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Israel is a question that is on many people's mind, and the question is, why should we support Israel and the Jewish people? I am Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Dr. Ed Heinsohn, who is the dean of the School of Religion at Liberty University and distinguished professor of religion, and someone who has been to Israel many times and is very knowledgeable not only about Israel, but obviously also about the scriptures as well. Welcome to Faith and Freedom.
Thank you, Matt. I really am thrilled that you're dealing with the problem and the question and the whole issue of Israel and her relationship to the Muslim world around her, because I think it's been so often misrepresented in the public media, and that we need to have a very clear understanding of what is God's purpose for Israel in these last days.
Well, the question that we want to start off with is, obviously, there's political reasons to support Israel. We can talk about that later in terms of its strategic importance within the Middle East. But what are other biblical reasons? Why should Christians and other people of faith be concerned about Israel?
I think the prophet Isaiah put it really powerfully in Isaiah 62 when he said, "For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until righteousness and salvation go forth like the lamp of the Lord from that place." In other words, the prophets of God foresaw a time when the will of God would be accomplished in Jerusalem through the people of Israel, and of course, ultimately through the Messiah. I think Christians need to remind ourselves that Jesus was Jewish in the flesh. All of the disciples were Jewish. The entire Christian church has a Jewish beginning, and that God used the Jewish people to respond to the gospel, to launch the gospel, and even though he has perpetuated the gospel through the Gentiles over the centuries, we have a common spiritual heritage with the people of Israel that ought to cause us, from a biblical standpoint, to care. Secondly, I think prophetically, the Bible clearly indicates that Israel has to be back in the promised land in the last days in order to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies, and they're there. That doesn't mean that every decision they make is always the right decision. It means they're held to a standard of accountability and righteousness just like any other nation, but the fact that they're there is fulfilling the purpose of God in these end times. And then I think thirdly, we have a responsibility to really pray for them, to encourage them, to try to help them because of all that they've been through historically. They have suffered from the Crusades, from the Inquisition, from the church not understanding the right relationship to the nation and people of Israel, rejecting the Jews, persecuting the Jews, and sadly, for the most part, there are exceptions like Bonhoeffer, but for the most part, the church in Europe sat by silently during the Holocaust while 6 million Jewish people were put to death. I think those give us very good reasons, biblically, spiritually, and morally, to care about Israel.
You know, I want to talk about that part in just a moment, but you have Genesis chapter 12, too. Those who bless you, God will bless, speaking to Abraham and his seed, which is the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. And those who curse you, I will curse, God says in Genesis. And if you look through history, the fact that there is a nation called Israel today, and it was founded again in our generation, that it's amazing that you have a people group like that that has survived. I mean, you have the strongest nations in the world. You have the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire is gone, and Israel survived. The Jewish people survived. You had the Babylonians. That's gone, and now the Jewish people in Israel have survived. There's no other people group, it seems like, in history that have had such a miraculous, continual existence throughout history.
And I think apart from God's purposes for Israel, there's no other way to explain that. No other person or group of people has ever been, as a nation, totally destroyed, removed from their land twice by the Babylonians and then by the Romans, have come back and have retained their identity as a people and have been literally physically reborn in that same land. They've retained their language, their culture, their heritage, their religion. That has never happened before in all of history. That alone makes Israel unique, and that alone ought to tell us God is the one who has sustained them, and God has a unique purpose for them in these days.
It's clearly a miracle when you look at that. And people that are in Israel, the Jewish people that live there, the Israelis, they know in the wars that they've encountered in recent times that there have been miraculous interventions by God. Let me go back just to a moment. You mentioned during the Nazi Holocaust, Bonhoeffer was one of the voices and a few others that supported the Jews against the Nazis. But the church in general, both Protestants and Catholics, were silent, were they not?
They were, and that's the tragedy. I think a lot of the influence of extreme, what's called replacement theology, that had gained momentum from the Middle Ages into the Reformation, as good as the Reformers were, they didn't get the issue of Israel correct at all. And that attitude remained that the Jews are a problem and they're under the judgment of God. And that sets the cultural and intellectual and moral atmosphere to allow the Holocaust to happen. Why was there not an outcry among the people of Germany and Austria and the Netherlands and countries that the Nazis occupied? Why was there not an outcry against what was going on? Instead, there was almost an attitude of cheering on what Hitler was up to. This summer, my wife and I were in Amsterdam in Holland, and we visited the Anne Frank house where she was hidden and finally caught and exposed and sent to the concentration camp where she later died. And sadly, right next door to that house is a gigantic Dutch Reformed church. And the bell rings every hour in that church, and they have a sign in there, oddly, that says the entire time Anne Frank was in hiding, she could hear the bells from this church, as though that were some means of hope for her or blessing. The truth is, the Reformed Church in Holland had already taken the theological position that God was through with the Israelites, God was through with the Jews, that the church was the new Israel. They had replaced Israel, that God had no plan for them, and their strong, extreme view of election, in my opinion, caused them to not even reach out to the Jewish people. And here's the tragedy. She's right next door to a gigantic church that made no attempt to ever reach her with the gospel or reach out to her in any way at all. That is repeated hundreds and hundreds of times across Europe during the time of the Holocaust.
Even Martin Luther, you know, I read this book, Stand with Israel, by David Brog, and one of the things he tries to present both to Christians and to Jews, why do Jews think the way they do sometimes about Christians, and why do Jews and vice versa think the other way? One of the things he points out is Martin Luther, and who was very influential, obviously, in Germany. He had the Luther Bible and so forth. And yet he had an anti-Semitism as part of some of his theology.
Yeah, that's the shocking thing. As great a person as Luther was, to stand up to the Pope, to say, we're going to make a difference here, we're going to emphasize salvation by faith through grace, etc. In spite of all of that, Luther believed that one day the Jews would be converted. That's in his early writings. And then when it doesn't happen in his lifetime, then all of a sudden he takes this very negative attitude right toward the end of his life, and in his writings indicates that they're blinded, the judgment of God is on them, we should expel them from Germany. Of course, over the centuries then, Lutheran and Reformed theologians in Germany would point back to Luther's statements for justification of their anti-Semitic attitude.
Well, you're listening to Dr. Ed Heinsohn, who's the dean of the School of Religion at Liberty University. You can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, and order our Patriot's Handbook of Essential Reasons to Stand with Israel. Again, that website is lc.org, or you can call 800-671-1776 and order the Patriot's Handbook of Essential Reasons to Stand with Israel. Also, and we'll talk about this in more detail, Liberty Counsel is now pleased to say that Christians in Defense of Israel is part of Liberty Counsel, founded by Dr. Ed Heinsohn himself, strong supporter of Israel. Dr. Heinsohn is still involved Israel and many things Israel-related. And we're very pleased to now have about 90,000 to 100,000 people that are with Christians in Defense of Israel join what we already have at Liberty Council, about 100 to 150,000 individuals. So now that comes up to almost 250,000 individuals supporting Israel. If you want to be part of Christians in Defense of Israel, call us today at 800-671-1776. You may already receive Liberty Council's newsletter, but you need to receive the newsletter from Christians in Defense of Israel as well. Go to lc.org for more information.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.